The Take What Serves, Leave the Rest podcast is sponsored by Prairie Care. You know, going through the process of getting help with your mental health can be very overwhelming. I definitely know that from firsthand experience. Prairie Care can help guide you through it and get you in touch with the help that you need. They've been offering mental health services to all ages in the Twin Cities of Minnesota since 2005. Whether you're looking for clinical services, a specialty outpatient program, or a more intensive level of care like inpatient treatment, Prairie Care has you and your family covered. Visit prairie-care.com to learn more. That's prairie-care.com. Hello there, my friends, and a big welcome into another episode of the Take What Serves, Leave the Rest podcast. So good to have you here, as always, holding space for however you are showing up right here, right now, in this moment. And looking forward to some time together here today. On the episode, on the podcast this week, we are talking about a very beautiful intersection of mental health and creativity and art. We have Justin Jordan Lake on the podcast. He is the founder of the OCD blog and somebody that I recently came across on social media, on Instagram, and he is putting really, really beautiful, powerful artwork out into the world to support other people experiencing obsessive compulsive disorder. And it's been really healing for me to absorb his work. And so I wanted to have him on the podcast to be able to share his story and his message with all of you. And I really, really hope that this is a helpful conversation for all of you today. Justin talks in this episode about his own OCD story and what that has looked like for him in his life. We get into some discussion about what does recovery look like when it comes to OCD, and we get much more into his drawings, his art, how it's been healing for him, and kind of this next layer of sharing it with other people. And so, yeah, let's go ahead and dive into the conversation. I really, really encourage you to look him up online. I'll have a link to that in the show notes of this episode. And as always, my friends, encourage you to take what serves you from this conversation and just go ahead and leave the rest. So be gentle with you, one step at a time, sending lots of love to you out there. And here we go. Justin, thank you so much for taking the time to join me here on the podcast. I'm so grateful and really looking forward to chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is awesome.
Yeah, and I want to start, as I do with most people who I have on the podcast, and I would just love to hear your story, the journey that you've been on when it comes to OCD and mental health, which I know I always remind people that's a pretty daunting thing to be asked, and like trying to summarize that can be really challenging. Yeah. I know, but what do you want to share about your lived experience with OCD?
Yeah. You're right. It's a daunting task.
And
sum
go.
Up your existence really quick. Yeah.
I know.
I mean, I will say this, I've had, lots of ups and downs in my life, but I've also had, I've been very blessed in a lot of different ways. And kind of my main thing with, OCD throughout my life is constantly wondering if I have OCD. And I know that's a common thing, but even after an official diagnosis, the past couple of years have been much better. The stigma is kind of melting. It's been really cool to see on social media, but for a while, I don't know if it was American culture or just society in general, but I thought that, well, I am actually crazy and it's not OCD because I don't have the hand washing, I'm not that orderly, but I have these taboo, distressing thoughts that even as a young kid, I knew weren't right, especially growing up. I was raised religious, and so I would be in the middle of a prayer and a thought would come in, and it got to the point where it was I knew something was not right. I don't want to use the word wrong, but you know, something was just not firing the way it should, and it took me a long time. Wasn't officially diagnosed till 18, and then new symptoms arose in college. But I would just say that my experience has been, I'm very grateful that I had the resource I did and the family I did, because I genuinely can't imagine going through obsessive compulsive disorder, having things falling beneath your feet. You know, God forbid if my parents gotten in a car wreck or something like that. I mean, there were a lot of incredible things happening in my life that OCD was able to take and undermine and rip apart, that should have just been purely good childhood experiences. And so I kind of use my experience as whatever word you want to use. I've been very privileged. I've had a great life. But if my the best intentions from others can be ripped apart, and like my own lived experience can be ripped apart, I think it's kind of good to extrapolate that out of whether you have this perfect cookie cutter life and you got the picket fence, whatever, or you are really, really, really at rock bottom, whatever that looks like for you. OCD will ruin your life. It will. It'll kick you over and over, and when you're down, it'll spit on you. I mean, it is, the media does a big disservice, I think, to a lot of young kids because it is the doubting disorder. And so it's easy to convince yourself, I'm being dramatic, I don't really have OCD, or it's a willpower thing. Why can't I just turn the thoughts off? Whatever. And then that added layer of, I don't even think I really have this OCD thing. Because when I look it up, that's like, you know, it's like a lot of hand washing and everyone's really orderly. And like I see these characters on TV. So it's not that. So then you're doubting more, you think you're crazy. And so, yeah, my experience, I don't even have to get into anything super specific without, you know, saying I did have a great life, but even the best parts were somehow torn apart by obsessive compulsive disorder. And I know it looks different for everyone, but for me, it really was the middle of prayers, just the worst thoughts you can imagine. And I know that everyone has intrusive thoughts, but it was to that distressing point, that debilitating point where I couldn't even function as what I thought was a good person. I couldn't even pretend for long periods of times because I was just so broken and convinced I'm crazy. No one else has a brain like me. I can't imagine if we were all walking around with these thoughts, we would all be going crazy. So clearly I'm just a little better at pretending, but yeah, it's been very healing, especially I know the pandemic brought up a lot of mental health stuff. It certainly did for me. But yeah, just the stigma going away. I really wish I could go back to my younger self and kind of walking through some of this stuff, or however you want to look at it, if I was born later and the stigma's gone, but I didn't choose that. And so I did grow up in a culture that kind of misrepresented it. But the past few years, it's really been incredible. I, in my recovery journey, again, I don't think you're ever necessarily fully recovered. I think it's, you know, a continuing process. You're always growing. But in my recovery journey, I am at a point where I feel comfortable saying, you know, I feel very good at where I'm at and who I am as a human being. And I can also separate now what is OCD trying to get its claws in me, which I could not have said even 3 years ago, let alone as a kid. So that's just kind of my experience. I know some of that was vague, but I don't have any, you know, crazy epiphany moments. It was this very kind of frog in a tea kettle, this slow, like I just devolved until I just couldn't function, and then kind of had to build my way back up. And luckily, I had the resources for therapy, and we've talked, you know, ERP and stuff like that. But Yeah, I just anyone that has it, you are not alone. You're not crazy. And there's so many people out there who felt the way that you felt. I swore to myself, there's no way I can live another day with this. There's just abs I mean, this is it. This is my last night. I cannot do this. And I'm here on a podcast talking about it. And so I know it's extremely frustrating when people are like, it gets better. It's like, it just doesn't feel like that though when you're on the other end of it. It just doesn't. I promise. It does get better. And yeah.
I can't thank you enough for sharing all that. And
Yeah.
I relate to so much of what you shared. The piece of do I actually have OCD or not
Yeah.
is such a cruel joke that OCD plays. So it's a theme that actually I still it's funny, I still maneuver that day very often. And here I am on a therapist now
Right.
treating OCD.
Yeah.
And you know, the OCD wants to kind of swoop into that and be like, are you sure that this is actually OCD and you're just lying to all these people? And you know, it just
Wow.
it finds every opportunity, right, to
Yeah.
swoop in.
It's
And
amazing to hear though from a, obviously as we talked about, I'm not a clinician, I am not a licensed professional. And so to hear from your perspective that OCD finds a way, it's just proof that it's not operating off of these logical things. You know, you
right.
clearly are well versed in this. There's no reason it should be attacking you like that, and yet still all these years later,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. And I think we just get a little bit better at calling it out and maybe just starting to notice it a little bit sooner when it starts playing some of those tricks. It's like, oh, okay. Even though it still
Yeah.
feels very real, still feels very real, it's at least there's at least enough awareness there now where I can kind of say, okay, that sounds a lot like OCD
Yeah.
doing what it does best.
Yeah.
So, and another piece that I want to touch on a little bit that I really appreciate you mentioning is this idea of not ever being quote unquote fully recovered, or like I go in, I do the work, and then this magical thing happens where I never experience any symptoms of OCD ever again.
Right.
And
Right.
looking at it more as an ongoing day-to-day journey with it, which I wholeheartedly agree with you on. And I
Wow.
think I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people can hear that and it can sound a little like a bummer and kind of deflating.
Yeah.
But I have found that actually the exact opposite. It feels like so much pressure to feel like I need to go in there, I need to do all this work, and I need to eradicate all my symptoms, and then I can
Yes.
start living my life.
I agree.
And I think that starts to set us up for being more controlled by OCD than learning how to say, hey, this stuff is going to come up and I'm going to learn how to just ride the waves a little bit better instead of getting the waves to fully go away.
Yeah, no, I fully
So.
agree that I think it does. I've never thought about it or heard it verbalized like that, but that's interesting. The amount of internal pressure and I guess external, if you're, you know, open with your struggles of feeling like, when is that warm euphoria going to wash over me? When am I going to have this moment where I'm like, oh, it's over. OCD's done. I'm healed. I, again, not a licensed professional. I can't live like that. I just, you hit the nail on the head with the pressure thing. That amount of pressure, they say pressure creates diamonds. That's not the pressure they're talking about. I will actually die if I live like that, because there's the way that I've interacted with my OCD and healed is, like you're saying, viewing it as I was born and OCD has always affected me. Everyone's different, but for me, it's always affected me. If I'm waiting for this day where I wake up and the sun is shining, and I mean, it's going to be a long, tough life. And so I have gotten to the point now where I almost view it as, like you're saying, it's not quite this bully. It's just something that I can kind of call out pretty easily and move on. And that's thanks to meditation and medication and a lot of other things. But I totally agree with that. There's a lot of, I get the sentiment of people, especially therapists, wanting to come online and say, it does get better. You will be healed fully. And I do agree you can be healed, but in terms of a recovery perspective, I think you always have to kind of work with yourself and your OCD. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but OCD, at least for me, has been so sneaky that anytime I fool myself or delude myself that I'm done, OCD's
Yeah.
over, that's when it rears its head the worst. So I've almost found viewing it as like, oh man, I'll always have this. For everyone's different, but for some reason it's motivating for me of like, yeah, but look at how, I mean, I can do X, Y, Z. I can drive a car. I can order. I can, all these things that used to just completely, I couldn't even move. I couldn't get out of bed. And so, yeah, I agree with that, but I've never heard it phrased like that. It's interesting.
Yeah. And I think the hope, right, comes in the form of helping people understand that through learning how to move with OCD and the discomfort of that in a new way, our life opens up in a really, really powerful way. We get our life back when we can learn how to say, hey, I am capable of learning to tolerate the discomfort of experiencing this intrusive thought and not needing to chase it down and figure it out and arrive at this aha grand conclusion around it before I live my life. Like I can live with that question unanswered in my brain and still engage with the things in my life that are important to me, that I find value in. Like that's what, at least my approach, I think that's really where the magic is.
Is in
that space instead of, ooh, we got to like, you know, do all the work until you never experience a symptom ever again.
Yeah. Like there's a finish line that you have, you know, you'll cross and then you can relax. And it's like, maybe again, everyone's different. Maybe there are some people who've had an experience where they literally had an epiphany and they, it just like a light switch, it's off. But that's not been my experience. And I've had a lot of people in real life, social media, whatever you want to call that, people have reached out and I've reached out and we've agreed that like, yeah, we're okay. We're not okay with not being okay, but we're okay with possibly living with an OCD that may be a form of OCD where we're great for a year and it rears its head because I used to, every waking moment was consumed by OCD. So that's a huge win. If I can go a year without having an emotional breakdown because of OCD, not that that should ever happen. But again, I think it's tough to, for any of us, OCD or not, but especially with OCD, to feel like I'm recovered and then you're on vacation and something happens and you start spiraling and you kid yourself and you're like, I'm back at square one. But that's not how anyone's journey works. You're not back at square one, but like you're saying, if you view it as this hard endpoint, then by your logic, yeah, you're way back at the bottom. You got to climb up. But, you know, I think we're in agreement that it is more this evolving process where, okay, great. You have a total, the worst day you've had in years with OCD. I mean, you know, plot it on a graph. Look how far you've come. Look how incredible you interact with your family and friends and your significant other. Whereas back in the day, you were just all consumed by worry and anger and whatever. So,
I want to talk about the artwork that you're putting out into the world. I first came across you on Instagram, where I know you developed a really cool following of people who are absorbing your content. And I want to encourage everybody who's listening to this, particularly if you live with OCD, to go check it out. We'll have a link to your page in the show notes of this episode. But how did this get started?
It's been interesting. I used to, I now do it on a, it's called a Remarkable. And so I can draw really quickly on there and just send it to myself via email. And that's kind of how I post, but they might still be up. If you go way back, I started just drawing on little sheets of paper. And then if you go way back to my childhood, just in class and church, I would draw little notes and just kind of stuff to make me feel better. At the time, I didn't realize what I was doing, but it was totally a form of therapy. When I was stressed, when I was anxious, when the thoughts were killing me, the one thing that just got my brain or OCD, whatever you want to think about it, to just shut up for a minute was these little sketches and then just kind of writing what I was feeling if I didn't think the sketch did enough justice. And so I slowly started to do that again. There was just stuff in my personal life and job, and there were just a lot of stressors. And my wife actually kind of encouraged me, just, you know, we talk a lot about like the inner child and stuff. So I was like, I don't do this anymore. And I used to just spend every waking moment doing these little doodles and then writing. And my mom's an author, so I've always looked up to her in that sense. And so I was like, let's just start blogging. And if zero people read it, so be it. And if no one ever sees my art, so be it. Because this is what I naturally did as a kid to just make it all shut up for a minute and just quiet down. And this is the only, you know, I now use, as I always say, medication and meditation. I use the full spectrum of resources, but I mean, yeah, between Prozac and this, like this might beat out Prozac in terms of what has helped me compartmentalize who I am as a human being, what I value, and then what is obsessive compulsive disorder as an actual ailment. How does it affect me? How does it affect others differently than me that I can learn? How does my experience differ with quote unquote someone with, you know, a neurotypical brain? And so the art's just been extremely healing. Started putting it out, just taking photos of a notepad I was doing it on, and then got this thing. This isn't a plug, didn't sponsor me, but Remarkable, they're awesome. And so you have different things. So I like the one that looks like a calligraphy pen. So I started doing that, whatever. And I originally kind of slowed down and I was like, you know what? I just got to stick with this, even just to make my childhood self kind of proud of me. And I had like 50 followers, and then slowly I started to get these DMs, and now it's grown a bit and it's been awesome. But some of the DMs I've gotten are people who, I have gotten DMs from like literally 70-year-olds who are like, I think my grandson has this. And then I've also gotten DMs from, and I always try to, or I always make sure to say I'm not a licensed professional, and I try to tag, I have a few people that follow me that I recommend. But a lot of times it's people just being like, they're not even asking clinical questions. They're just being like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize my addiction was that caught up until OCD and your thing popped up on my explore page. And that to me has been awesome, that my kind of doodles after therapy and my random thoughts, if it even helps one person, let alone the number of people that have DM'd, I always say this, but like I can die happy and my childhood self can be proud. And so it's been this very cool kind of full circle thing of like, what used to help me during panic attacks in the middle of, you know, church or school or whatever, has now become this outlet where others with OCD reach out to me being like, wow, you're helping me heal. Which as a kid, I was like, I'm never going to help anyone heal. I'm not even healed. I'm a crazy person. I had such a low thought about where my brain was at, my mental state. And so the fact that now in some small way, I'm able to help whether it's a 16-year-old just kind of starting their OCD journey, or whether it's someone who feels fully healed, but is like, man, I feel healed, but this stuff keeps rearing its head. And they see one of my posts where I'm like, I feel like I've been healed for 5 years, but yet this morning I question if I even had OCD. Like that connection, it's been awesome. And so what's really kept me going is honestly just the DMs and the people commenting that things have been helpful. Cause again, I don't have this, clinical experience, and I'm not a professional by any means in this area, but just sharing how day-to-day life is just for kind of a normal working person who on the outside, you probably wouldn't know some of the thoughts that are going to war in my brain. And so sharing it, I think, or I hope in some way makes people realize like, okay, a lot more, you know, they walk among us, if you will, like a yes. lot more people deal with this than meets the eye, and it does not look anything. Love the show Monk, love all the depictions of OCD, but it just doesn't look like what I would say 99.9% of the media puts out. And so it's yep. just, it's been awesome. It really has.
It's incredible. Yeah. And I think it, you're speaking so much to the power of just help, like not feeling alone in what yeah. you're experiencing, like the power of another human being saying, hey, this is something that I'm maneuvering. This feels yeah. hard, and how incredibly helpful that can be just to be like, oh my gosh, somebody else kind of gets it.
Yeah.
And I'm not the only one. Like that power of connection and community around these things that we're experiencing is mm-hmm. massive. And
yeah.
And the cognitive work with OCD and therapy, very, very important. And this layer of healing is so, so important as well.
Yeah.
Is connecting to things kind of on a broader scale, and just that humanness of, wow, somebody else is walking this as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not easy, really big deal. Having another human being just admit, at the very least, even if you read my blog and you're like, I don't relate to any of this, but I do have OCD. At the very least, I think seeing that, what you were saying, connection, just another person recognizing this sucks. Like,
yes,
I didn't ask to be what feels like bullied by my own brain. I know that's not what's actually going on, but there's days where you're like, my brain is assaulting itself. This is just so, I mean, how does anyone live like this? And to know that there are others that have not only lived like this, but gotten to not necessarily the other side, but have gotten to a place now where they're like, oh yeah, OCD, that pops up, rather than shaking in their bed, can't even face the world. It is very cool. And it's very powerful.
Yeah. I was looking through some of your artwork before we hopped on here today, and one of the ones that really stuck out to me was a quote that you wrote in one of them that says, the paradox of order is that the more you search for it, the less you will find.
Yeah.
Which I loved. And I think is so foundational to the work with OCD, right? The more that we try to find order, find certainty, quote unquote, get to the bottom of our thoughts, the stronger and the stronger and stronger those thoughts tend to become.
Yeah. You I try really to like dig that. In like and it lot. Like, yeah, it's weird. I know a lot of people have gone through this experience. I've had incredible experiences with talk therapy, but I also have had periods where I probably didn't need to be seeking that reassurance. And that's where I sort of found that to be true, was the more I was trying to peg down OCD or take my thoughts and put it in the box and figure it out, it just got so much worse. It's like a wild animal. It will not let you tame it the way you want to tame it. You've got to go through the correct steps, whether that's, you know, talk about ICBT, ERP, talk therapy, if that works for you, medication, exercise, whatever it is, you have to take those necessary steps, because it's not a willpower thing as much as it feels like it. You can't think your way out of this. And that's the worst part, is OCD whispers all the time, like, oh, well, have you thought about this? Like, you feel one thought away. You feel like you're on the precipice of this huge, just awakening moment. And it's just, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's not real. It's not there. And OCD is lying to you. And if you feel like you need help, you need help. You know, if you're having to ask that question, if it's starting to really affect your life, like, you should reach out. You need help, you know?
Yeah. And I know everybody's way through maneuvering OCD is going to look a little bit differently. And I know you've touched on here things like I love your phrase, meditation and medication.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And you've talked about some of the artwork, heard you even mention like some cold plunges in there too. You've gone to therapy. You've done a lot of different things. What helps you the most at this point in your life to just ride the waves, to take care of your mental health?
Medication has been awesome, and meditation. Yep. But if we're looking for, I have $0, I have no resources, I'm on an island and I've got to deal with this OCD, I got to say exercise. I have found, whatever that looks like, everyone is different, everyone's body is different. Whatever that looks like for you, getting to a place where there's little bit of good pain and lactic acid, that feeling of you're so focused on what you're doing, running or rowing or push-ups or whatever, where it's so freeing. The what a lot of people avoid that don't have OCD, that kind of pain, with OCD, leaning into that is incredible, because you'll find you'll go 5 minutes and you had quote unquote the worst day with OCD. You go on a run and your legs are screaming and you're like, oh, I've only been thinking about that for 10 minutes, which sounds very odd, but yeah, exercise, getting out of my head, getting into my body, that has just been huge for me. And when I was younger, I was in sports and pretty active, but I didn't take it seriously for my mental health. I kind of just viewed it as a punishment and, you know, something you had to do, work up a sweat, whatever. Now I'm like, if I go more than, you know, 3 days without getting my heart rate to a certain point, I can almost feel, I feel it physically. I just don't feel at peace, and it's my thoughts start to affect me more. And So yeah, exercise is just huge. And then also, I know it's said a lot, and when I was in like deep depressive episodes, I hated people being like, just get some sunlight. It's not that simple, but sunlight's awesome. And we don't get enough of it. I work in tech. I'm in front of blue light a lot. So yeah, as much sunlight as you can, obviously cover yourself in sunscreen, all that good stuff. But just, yeah, sunlight and exercise, I think, go a long way. Again, there's a million other factors. If you're like me, you need medication. There's other things that I'm certainly not going to discount and act like it'll fix everything. But those two things have just been absolutely incredible. And I notice a huge difference when I do them. And I notice a huge difference when I don't do them. So,
yeah. And I, something to point out with the meditation and medication line, which I love so much. In my own story, I used to always feel like it had to be one or the other. I don't know if you ever had this experience. I was like, I'm either going to be like super holistic with this and like go the yoga spiritual route, or like I could go the Western more medical route.
Yeah.
Like, and take medication. It felt very, very all or nothing. And for me, when I started to realize, oh, I can like pull things from both of those worlds,
yeah,
that serve me into this like more middle space. That was a game changer for me. And so I know, I would imagine there's a lot of people listening to this too that maybe feel that resistance to medication because it feels like it's like contradicting maybe some other practices that they engage in. I think I appreciate you naming that, because I also take medication every day, and I also meditate and do breath work and, you know, do yoga and connect to my body in those ways as well. And having those two things like come together has been such a game changer, and not feeling like it has to be like one or the other.
That's interesting though. I agree with that. And I'm sure a lot of other people do as well, but that idea of like, you either have to go almost like the tree hugging route and anti-big farm or whatever, or you have to be like a slave to the corporations and take your Prozac. It's like, again, everyone's different, but that mentality kept me stuck for so long. I wish I had started taking Prozac sooner, but I also wish I had started eating better sooner and getting more exercise and more sunlight and all that stuff. So yeah, I definitely think they go together. And so you see it everywhere, but especially on social media, when I see people demonizing medication and playing up, you know, sunlight and green smoothies, I'm like, that's not right. But also the other way of like, no, just take your Prozac and then go do whatever you want. It's like, well, no, you also have a mental illness. You need to take care of yourself. And so, yeah, finding that kind of how do you bring them together, that yin yang of like, okay, I don't want to necessarily be reliant on any one thing, but like you said, living holistically, because I don't have a neurotypical brain. I have obsessive compulsive disorder, and I had a post about this a while back, but like, you need to act like it, not in a bad way, not in a dehumanizing way, but in an uplifting way. Don't fool yourself that for me, nicotine is detrimental. And so I, for a long time, was addicted to it because I was like, well, everyone does it. And just the age I'm at, everyone had, you know, we grew up with Juuls and whatever. And so I remember kind of thinking like, well, you just do it. I mean, it's such a big, just like everyone's doing it. And when I finally realized, like, no, I got to live like I have OCD. Like I've talked to some of my friends, and some of them are very lucky. They've been honest with me. They don't struggle with anxiety or OCD. Good for them. That's not you. And so the medication, I'll throw it on a t-shirt at some point or something, but it just that's helped me a lot to realize, like, I don't have to pick one lane. This isn't a competition. This isn't a contest. And also the stigma that kept me away from medication for a long time, no one cares. Like, in the grand scheme of things, the people that do care and comment and demonize it, I mean, they're a blip on the radar. Most of us that, if not all of us, that have really, really gone through hard times with OCD and anxiety, whatever keeps you alive, honestly, whatever keeps you alive and happy and healthy and, you know, whatever's sustainable for you. So yeah. Combination, everything together, everything in moderation.
It's funny how that like all or nothing way of thinking is so at the foundation of what drives OCD. So it would only make sense that we would get that way about our healing as well. You know, either I pick this way or I pick that way. There's no in between. That in between space feels hard to access sometimes. kind of start to wind down here a little bit, I'm curious, is there something that you have heard from other people in your life that has been helpful for you in the way that they've showed up to support you as you've maneuvered this whole path?
I'm very blessed. My family's been awesome. They even kind of, we've talked about stuff in childhood and they're like, you know, I was an idiot at some points, don't get me wrong, but they have been like, man, we were trying to punish the anxiety out of you. The OCD, they didn't really understand that when I'm freaking out about a sensory issue with my soccer, I'm freaking out because I noticed that something in my room was misplaced. And then it got me thinking about how I messed up this thing at school. And then I just start spiraling. It's not something that I can snap out of. Or if it is, I don't have the tools for it yet. I was a kid and I really didn't know what was going on. So yeah, my family's been awesome about and it's also been very healing. You know, we're going, I'm lucky I live near enough to them where we can, it's just a car trip away. And so we'll go on a hike or something and just kind of unpack stuff from childhood where I was an idiot. And so I said something that I really didn't mean, but my OCD was like, no, this is true. This is your reality. They did this. They deserve this reaction. And then they've been able to be like, well, we didn't understand that, but we did understand this part. So we're sorry for not. So yeah, family's been huge. And then I've had great therapists throughout my life. My wife's incredible, great friends. But yeah, any community, whoever you are, I think community and having people you can open up to this stuff, not just licensed professionals, that's amazing and mm-hmm. vital, but also people who can just sit there and just talk, especially people if they've known you for a while. It's super healing. I've had even like friends from college be like, oh, that's why you did that. Like, that's why you were stressed there. Because, you know, they knew me and they would be like, why is he stressed in this moment? And it's like, well, you know, before medication, like they didn't quite realize it, but I was in the middle of a panic attack and it was coming out kind of the back end was coming out sideways of like, I'm angry, but I'm not angry at you. I'm angry that I can't control this and I'm freaking out. It's not about you. And so, yeah, just having people that you can open up to, especially people that have known you at different points in your life is very, very healing. But if I had to pick one, I'd say family. Family's been awesome to unpack childhood stuff with.
Yeah. And if you think about all the people that are right now, as we speak, coming across your Instagram page, seeing these pieces of art that you're putting out into the world that have been so healing for you to share with others, what do you have a sense of what you hope people experience or like take away from interacting with the OCD blog?
I've joked about this before, but A, you're not crazy, and B, like, we walk among you. I always joke about that because that's something that's used in like almost a derogatory way. And like, I think, you know, zombie movies, where it's like before they fully devolve, it's like they walk among you. You can't quite tell yet, whatever. And OCD for me, it's different for everyone, but it really ruined my life in a way that felt so personal. It felt like I was ruining my own life and I was choosing to ruin it. And then when I finally figured out, oh, you have this diagnosis, you have OCD, then my brain, or OCD, however you want to look at it, started convincing me that I didn't even have OCD and I'm a liar. And then it brings up self-worth. And then, so yeah, my page is not, again, I'm not a licensed professional. I'm not a neuroscientist. So it's not riddled with numbers or research. I try to collaborate with people that are intelligent in that sense. But I just try to put stuff out there that lets people know you're not crazy. And the person that looks like they have it all together, the person that, you know, you think you're the only one freaking out in the coffee shop and everyone around you is all calm, I promise one of those people is absolutely going to war in their minds. Like between their temples is hell right now and they look fine. And so just reminding yourself of misery loves company is the wrong term, because I am at a point now where my life's not miserable. I love my life, but I also try to recognize like we are in this together. And again, kind of a weird phrase to use, but like we walk among you. There's more people around you that not only suffer from OCD, but maybe really debilitating anxiety that kind of manifests as OCD. There's just more of us than you think. And it's more than just you're not alone. It's like you have like a team behind you. OCD is very interesting. And I found this with my blog and my Instagram page. I don't know if it's necessarily something to do with OCD that you, I don't know, you want to almost conceptualize certain things. You do, we've talked about this, you want to like peg things down. And so people who don't dedicate their pages to OCD, when I go to their page, will write huge paragraphs, long, long things under one of my posts, and it will get a bunch of likes from someone else, and it'll be a mom talking about like, well, this is what I saw my son, or oh my gosh, I used to do this. And so there's like little sects of it that have now become almost like mini forums for people to kind of share symptoms. And so, yeah, you're not alone. There's a lot of us out there. And even on your darkest day, when you think, if anyone saw inside of my brain, they would lock me up. It's just, I don't know. It's not you. Those taboo thoughts are a product of OCD. You are a good person. We're all worthy of love and understanding. And I promise you, your darkest, your worst thought, share it with a loved one. Start, if you haven't already, start that healing process. Because OCD, if you let it, it will run your life. It'll ruin your life. It really will. It'll run it into the ground, and then it'll turn around and be like, why'd you do that? Why did you ruin your, you know, it convinces you that your self-sabotage was purely selfish, you know, and there was no back end mental illness, which isn't true. So
yeah. Well, Justin, I cannot thank you enough for coming on here and sharing your story with us. You have an incredible way of share it, like verbalizing what you've been through, and your artwork, I know, has positively impacted me since I've started following you, and I know it's doing that for a lot of other people as well. So thanks for taking your journey and packaging it into something now that is helping a lot of us. Really, really grateful.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I've mentioned this before, but the healing on both ends, getting to find other creators who have OCD and just people, you know, going back and forth, sharing our experiences. It's been awesome, but I appreciate the kind words. Thank you.
Anything else that you want to add that I didn't ask you about?
No, I mean, we really covered it all. And my last thing was long-winded, but just know you're not alone. Just know you're not alone. I wish I could go back to my younger self and just, you know, come hell or high water, there are other people that are out there that have this wire in their brain. You're not crazy, but you do need help. Yeah.
Well, thank you. And we keep taking one step at a time moving forward.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. This was incredible.
Also, just a reminder that this podcast is not meant to replace work with a therapist. And so if you feel you need it, I encourage you to reach out to a trained mental health professional. All right, we'll talk soon.